You're listening to Zen Crossing, where spirituality meets everyday life, with your host, Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center.
Today I have the pleasure of talking to my old friend, Hyun Munsunim, about Sangha. Hyun Munsunim grew up in Poland. He's a Zen monk in Korea. He started Zen when he was 29 years old, 1984. And then the next year, he met his teacher, Sun San Sunim. And for the next many years, he traveled to different centers in Paris and the United States, living in those centers. In 1994, he was ordained and was then in 2002 was fully ordained as a bhikkhu and moved to Korea and has lived there since. Now, after 30 years away, Hyun Munsunim is now slowly getting back to Poland to set up the first Zen monastery in Poland. He's an old friend of mine and a real friend of the Sangha of the Puget Sound Zen Center. Today we're going to be talking about the third of the three jewels, the community of Buddhist practitioners, the Sangha. Hyun Munsunim.
Yeah.
What is Sangha?
So we have to first understand the situation which happened 2,500 years ago. There was a great practitioner those time in the forest, the great yogi, the great ascet. What was revolution that Buddha Shakyamuni, as we know his name, decide to make some kind of revolution. So he first create a community of beggars.
Mm.
And this was very interesting because those time was kind of the same like England. The begging was kind of illegal. However, the great practitioner has always entered to the palace in any place. They've been kind of, from religious point of view, appreciated. But there was never community. It was the priest, it was the yogi, it was the forest ascet, but was not very clearly defined that inside the society we're living somebody who's the society abaddon.
Hmm.
So the first, of course, because of the climate, the first community of practitioner, they practice in the forest because of climate. It's a pretty warm climate, just don't need. Then Buddha defined what kind of rope and what kind of behavior. After why, this was also they followed the ethic precepts, but this was not made framed by the Buddha right away. But definitely what was framed was that they have to live together and practice together.
Mm.
Then after usually the retreat, they kind of go free and disassemble this assembly of the practicing period of time. Usually happen during the rain, monsoon, because monks do not walk during this time, was not allowed by practitioner because of the bugs. The bugs come out and you have to kill them. So it was not correct for Ahimsa, the first of the rules of the, which is in Buddhism the same, and as well in other religion. But the teaching of this go a little farther. Essentially, when the Buddha moved the three wheels, still this Sangha as a community stayed when the bhikkhu shaved the head. He said this was actually before completely revolution. Even Buddha himself cut this the high hair. And the first time, you know, this kind of humiliation for the human, they shave.
To shave.
But it was the reason was no attainment. What only stay is community together practice.
Mm. So everybody was the same.
Everybody was the same. So before it was, you know, different attribute of the yogi, you know, tantric, something. But that moment, the Buddha created everybody are the same. So it was first revolution. Later, even take a female, an ordained female. Buddha kind of resist first from this because was the problem with the society. Society will could be against this one. So we have to be slowly introduced into society, this kind of operation. But after the turning three wheels, the Buddha exactly explained what this means, this community. It does not mean only the human Saha world living. But for him, he teach about the whole universe, every particles, in single particles, in infinity number of Buddha. So then teach the Sangha doesn't mean only the human operation, meaning the earth, the sun, the all infinity number of the creature living in different realms, different zones, different planet. It is our Sangha. But we can only understand it from the little small point, because as we talked with your son yesterday, we have only three dimensions.
We had a long talk with my son about physics yesterday. Hyunmun Sunim knows a lot about a lot of different things, including physics. Hyunmun Sunim, if we define Sangha more narrowly, as the community of practitioners, tell me, how has Sangha supported you?
Oh, this is very important. Because moment when the monks is some kind of wrong name, this monk is not exactly mono, the meaning Latin language, the single. This is not we took it from other tradition and up to the language. It's actually some kind of little misunderstanding. The monks, the meaning the man who sacrificed his life for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Not only monks, of course, according to Buddha, there will be infinity, according to his own mind. As mind is bigger, more practiced, then understand this is not only the world of the human. But in the very earthly operation, monks together practice, together live, together die, support themselves. There was a time where a society outside of the monastery, when the monastery was built, didn't support it. So the monks go and work on the fields. That was in China during persecution.
Yeah.
So still we have a very tight-knit community, working together and sharing everything. During practice time, it's even more deep, because they say it's no more stronger bonding than being on the same level of the universal Dharma, which we learn from the first teacher of Buddha, Shakyamuni. So he creates some kind of environment. The very important was the environment which was created was to bond together this individual. Then all these rules inside and everything was to how to keep not separate mind. It's not about even harmony. Today you talk about it. It's not about harmony. It's about how to function correctly in this situation beside any kind of like and dislike. And how this is supported by, if one time, it was very interesting, that in those times, we're talking about ancient time when the Buddha was, monks start to argue and live very kind of not comfortable way for to show society. Then the people immediately respond for this, and Buddha too. So Buddha walk out as a teacher, go to the forest and sit. So when the people see it, the around, you know, villagers and prince and aristocracy, they see this, they start to bring food. So the monks was hungry, and they teach them very well. So they went to the forest, begged Buddha to come back, and the Buddha said, okay, after three times he come back, and still again they process this community life. But it's very clear, bad behavior, no food. That's how support.
What's been difficult about Sangha for you? What's been the most difficult part?
Actually, there is impossible practice without this gem. Mm. This is not Buddhism. It cannot take away this one. I will never come here to this earth and have an idea about help other people if it's not my brother and sister which I practice together. You cannot. That's why in the any kind of rituals or the practice, we take a refuge in the three jewels. The first, because that's what is our true self, that's what is our Sangha, is our community. But in fact, it's you without this kind of gem, you will not have even human body.
Without this gem, we wouldn't have the practice that we have, that's for sure.
Impossible.
Sometimes that practice, the practice of Sangha, is difficult. And I wonder whether that difficulty is in fact itself something that we can learn from, something that helps mature us. What do you think?
Absolutely. We say even in the Christianity, when you see the dust, you see the dust in somebody's eye, but you cannot see the big stone in your own eye.
That's right.
That's perfectly clear. It's impossible to grow wisdom, and which is function of the enlightenment. Enlightenment doesn't call in this. It's just empty word. Have to be expressed in the community. The meaning, whatever you learn in the Sangha, immediately you teach. Without this interaction, it's impossible. The wisdom not grow. So what we're going to grow is some kind of holy elephant. And the monastery become museum. Would you buy the ticket and look around? This is nonsense. Without Sangha, it's impossible to develop, and especially when it's difficulty, as more difficulty, as better for your development, because you see exactly, we have a chance to develop the wisdom by various, keeping the center, keeping the mind clear, or reflecting the situation, and sometimes many times until the mind is cope with the situation and see it as a absolutely projection.
Do you have an example of that in your own life?
Absolutely, every time, every day, every day, any time in monastery. This is not some kind of peaceful place where is everything neat and harmonious. Every day from morning, 3 o'clock, by the way. 3 o'clock at morning, we begin, and it's already a problem.
I remember when I went to the monastery, I thought I was going to a place that was going to be harmonious and very clean
and peaceful.
And boy, was I in for a surprise.
In this environment, what we only develop is more deep sleep. So anytime you have interaction, doesn't mean you have to present the different view. It's not about it. It's the interaction which comes from the mind of love and compassion. We have to embrace the gap. So, for example, I cut myself with all my brothers out of the society. So there is an enormous gap between me, my brothers in the monastery, for example, and the society. Also, there's a gap between my body and the other brothers. What I have to do immediately, embrace this space, this gap. Not try to make it the same or make other people think the same way I act. Only to see this exactly how this works, how this mirror works. I am only reflecting my own mind. And in the case, for example, of practicing together, is very deep level, sitting and looking at the floor, kind of looks pretty stupid. But this practice produce for you, for me, constant level of what we do now is actually future. So all these people which we practice now, we're going to sooner or later meet them. If we do bad things, the bad things come. So when the bad things happen right away in monastery, we embrace it because it's only a chance to delete them. Otherwise, they're going to chase us to infinity. So this is a beautiful opportunity. That's why the great masters, sometimes they bring troublemakers to monastery purposely. And because they have powerful mind and influence on the other students, the student cannot reject it, have to embrace it and learn. Because sometimes the great Zen master maybe cannot teach the people.
Yeah. Hyun Munsonim, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.